Chapter 7 is where we're going to be this evening. I just want to say to you as a church, thank you so much for all that you've done for us missionaries this week. You're a great blessing. You guys have poured out your time to be here. You have fed us. We're fed up. And we are filled, and not only physically, but spiritually. This has been an encouragement to us. And thank you so much just for your faithfulness to support us. My family and I have been supported by your church since 2018, and we just praise the Lord for you. And looking forward to what God's going to do. What a great message this morning. The messages this week have been wonderful and encouraging to my heart, and it's a great blessing to partner with you. And so we look forward to what God's going to do. Missions is an exciting thing. I hope that it is to you. I hope that every year when Missions Revival or Conference comes around, you're not like, oh man, here we go again, you know, got to go out to Missions Conference. I hope it's an excitement Amen. To you. I hope that you are excited to serve the Lord and giving the gospel to people here and around the world. What better purpose could we have, really, honestly, than to get the good news to people? There's a lot of bad news out in the world, but there is good news, and His name is Jesus Christ. And Luke chapter 7 is where we're going to be this evening. I want to speak to you this evening about one life changed by the gospel. Your theme of this conference, this Missions Revival this week, has been the value of one. You know, as we read Scripture, we see many themes throughout Scripture. There's many themes in Scripture, in the Gospels. But if you could narrow it down to, say, one theme that the Bible seems to portray more than anything else, what would it be? Some might say the love of God is a theme throughout Scripture, and I would agree. Some might say the love of God, or they might say that the gospel or salvation is a theme throughout Scripture, and I would also agree with that as well. But more specifically, I think the singular most important theme throughout Scripture is redemption. Redemption of Jesus Christ. Redemption of fallen man, sinful since Adam, in the garden, and in desperate need of salvation, in desperate need of a Savior, which we know is Jesus Christ. The theme of redemption is found from Genesis to Revelation. And the central figure of that redemption is Jesus Christ. Think of it this way. Everything in Scripture is either looking forward to the need of a Savior, or it's looking back. Either it's looking forward to the need of a Savior, or it's looking back to the provision of the Savior. You see, the New Testament is looking back saying, look to Jesus. He's come. He has made the sacrifice for sin once and for all. Everything we do and say today is built on this fundamental theme of redemption. That you and I have been redeemed by God's grace, and we are called to serve Him with our lives. We are called to get the gospel to someone else so that they too can know Christ as their Savior. As you read the Gospels and as you specifically study the life of Christ, it's an amazing study. You see many instances where Jesus preached and He taught to multitudes, to the crowds. But many, if not most, of Jesus' ministry or miracles were not done before crowds or multitudes. They were done rather in individual lives and people. There were sick men and women, even children, that Jesus touched, not in a public display of miracle working, but in a private and personal way. You may be thinking of the Samaritan woman at the well. You may be thinking of Jairus' daughter. You may be thinking of nearly two dozen other individual instances in Scripture where Christ healed or forgave someone. Many of these which Christ forgave or healed, in fact, were castaways. They were forgotten people. People that of that day were discriminated against, were cast out because of one reason or another. But here in this passage in Luke chapter 7, we have an event in the life of Christ where He is reaching one of those individuals whom no one cared for or thought was of any value. We have people all around us every day that much of the world considers they don't have value. Much of the world passes them by. Maybe we even pass them by and think nothing of them. But before we read this passage, let me ask you a few questions. What is the value of one soul? What is the value of praying for missions and missionaries? What is the value of having a missions revival or conference? What is the value of giving financially and sacrificially through your local church to the work of God? What is the value of these things? Is there value in these things? I hope that you would say yes. I hope that you would see there is great value in being here tonight. You being here tonight is not by accident. God wants you here. He wants to do something in your heart and in your life. But is there greater value being placed on seeing souls come to know the Lord than on anything else in our life? I can tell you, Christ placed immense value on you and I. It drove him to the cross. It drove him to the cross to shed his blood on an old rugged cross and die for us. He placed immense value on us, so much so that he went to the cross for us. For people like us, for people not like us. So look at Luke chapter 7 with me, starting in verse number 36. I want us to read a few verses here. This is an event in the life of Christ that is remarkable. But I want you to see Christ's heart for the world. Christ's heart for sinners, for people just like you and I. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him." This is speaking of Jesus. "And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the house, in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner.' And Jesus answering said unto him, 'Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee.' And he saith, 'Master, say on.' There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. 'Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?' Simon answered and said, 'I suppose that he to whom he forgave most.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast rightly judged.' And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, 'Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss or greeting, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he, Jesus, said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Let's open a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this missions revival, this conference. Thank you for your people here tonight, Lord. I pray that we would open our hearts to receive your word tonight, Lord. I pray that you would use me to faithfully and boldly proclaim your truth to your people. God, change us. Help us to see the value of one. Help us to see those around us who are hurting, who are dying in their sins. And unless we get the gospel to them, no one will ever reach them, Lord. Help us to see the needs of this world and to do something about it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here in Luke chapter 7, we have an incredible story. We have an incredible story of the love of Christ, the immense love of Christ. Look at verse number 36 with me. I want to go through these verses with you to help you understand. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. It tells us about this Pharisee. Now, a Pharisee, as we know, was a religious leader of the day. They were typically a person of means, an important political or religious figure of that day. And Jesus, in the event prior to this one we have in Luke chapter 7, and this event prior in Matthew 11, he had just finished upbraiding or speaking against the wicked cities of the day. We know cities like Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus in Matthew 11 was speaking against these cities for their wickedness. And he had just finished doing this, and he gets invited into the house of this Pharisee named Simon. And verse 37 tells us that there was a woman. This woman, it says, was of that city. In fact, she was a known sinner. She was known to at least the Pharisees that her sin was much. Now, this means that maybe she was a prostitute. Maybe she was someone that had a known sin problem in that city. We don't know. But notice what it says. It says, when she knew Jesus was there, she entered in where he was sitting and brought this alabaster box of ointment. This box of ointment was very likely a very pricey, expensive thing. And for a woman of her means, we're not sure of what her means were, but most likely she didn't have much. This may have been all that she had. And so I think it's important. It's a notable thing, especially for this woman in her place in society. It may have been all she had. But look there at verse 38. It says, this woman, it says, she stood at Jesus' feet and wept. You know, it's very likely that this woman had just heard in Matthew chapter 11, this is the passage where Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jesus had just been saying this. Maybe this woman had just heard Jesus speak these words. And this is why she needs to get into that house of the Pharisee where Jesus was sitting. So think with me about this. This woman is not weeping for no reason. She is weeping because of who she was, the sinner that she was, and who Jesus is. Her humility, her faith is evident here. She washes Jesus' feet, which was something that was typically done by the lowest servant of the house. And she wipes his feet with her hair. It was humiliating. And consider this in light of where she was. She was in the house, she was in the home of a Pharisee, a religious leader, a religious ruler. Other Pharisees were possibly in that room. And there's a Jewish rabbi in Jesus there. She's in the place of great hostility, of great judgment. But look at verse 39. Verse 39 tells us really the heart that this Pharisee had. It says, now when the Pharisee which had bidden him or invited Jesus saw it, he spake within himself. You know, isn't it typical for the world around us, for self-righteous people to do what this Pharisee did? To say within himself, this man did not know who Jesus was. He did not acknowledge that Jesus Christ was God. We'll see that in just a moment. But Jesus, in fact, does know this woman. He knows the internal thoughts of Simon. But not only does Jesus, in fact, know this woman, he wants her to be there. This is important, folks. Jesus wants this woman to be there, even when no one else in that room wanted her there. This is the kind of God we serve, folks. A respecter of no persons. You know, we live in a world with hurting people, homeless people, people that are down and out, people that are addicted to things. And much of our day is spent passing these people by. And if we don't stop and we don't consider the lives around us, we are missing it. We need to see people as God sees them. Because if not, we will end up just like these Pharisees. Think of the woman at the well, a known sinner with multiple husbands. And what did Jesus do? You know, it's interesting. Many of the disciples, followers of Jesus, they were with him. Many, in most of everywhere he went. But the disciples were even trying to steer Jesus around confrontation. Many of the times they did this. And this is exactly what the Jews of that day did. They avoided Samaria. They did everything they could to avoid the region. They went up the Jordan River Valley and avoided that region of Samaria to go from Judea up to Galilee. And what did Jesus do? He intentionally went through Samaria. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. He lived with intentionality. Intentionality to reach souls with the gospel, to change lives. Jesus knows who this woman is. And he has something very important to say to Simon. Look there at verse number 40. Simon here again shows us how often people respond to Jesus. He says, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And what did Simon say? He says, Master, say on. This is very typical of how people respond to Jesus even today. When Jesus addresses him, he answers and calls Jesus Master, or we may say teacher. Remember, he had just got done ridiculing Jesus and belittling Jesus in his mind, questioning him about him, whether he even knew this woman. He even questioned that he was even a prophet. But now, out loud and in public, he says, oh yes, Master, teacher, say on, continue, teach us. Can you see the parallels to our day today? There are many people today who secretly in their heart and life, they care nothing for God. They care nothing for the Bible. They care nothing for church. They care nothing for missions revival. And yet in public or every blue moon when they are at church, they want everyone to believe that they're so spiritual, that they're so respectful and moral. But Jesus sees right to the heart. But notice the example in question Jesus asks him in verses 41 through 42. This is incredible. He uses an example here, and he says, there's an example here of two individuals who owe a debt. You have one who has a lot of debt, and you have, on the other hand, someone who has a little bit of debt. And what does the creditor do? He forgives them both, and he asks Simon, so tell me, who would be more thankful? Who would be more excited to have their debt forgiven? He says, of course, the one who had more debt, of course. Think of that in terms of our life. You know, there's some of you sitting here, and you know, you're not a murderer, you're not a child molester, you've not had any big sins in your life that you someone would say, man, that person's a really bad sinner. You know, that person has a lot of debt of sin. You know, on the other hand, you have Pharisees. Pharisees were religious. They were morally clean and pure, but their heart was far from God. They didn't truly know God because their heart, see, Jesus, God looks on the heart. He doesn't look on the externals. You know, we sometimes look on the externals and we see people for their external sin. But Jesus looks to the heart, even of religious, moral people. The creditor here forgives the debt of both. And Jesus asks Simon, so who's going to be more thankful for this debt? And Simon correctly answers. But this is incredible what Jesus says next. He says to Simon that no one in his house, verses 44 through 46, no one in his house, in Simon's house, had done anything that in that day was expected. That was a show of hospitality. It was a show of respect and honor and appreciation. No one had done these things. No one had washed his feet. No one had greeted him. No one had anointed him with ointment. But this woman who is a known sinner. In fact, no one wanted this to be around this woman, or especially to have her touch them. You see, the Jews, the Pharisees would consider themselves unclean if a sinner even touched the hem of their garment. Well, we know many instances where people touched the hem of the garment of Jesus and got his attention. And what did Jesus do? He healed them. He talked to them. He loved them. He had compassion on them. But the world around us doesn't have compassion like that. And as Christians, we should be distinctively different than that. We should have love and compassion for people that no one cares about. The value of one. There is great value in those around us. And in fact, everyone. Christ has died for all people. This woman was a known sinner. But she humbled herself. She humiliated herself because Jesus was worth it. Jesus was worth it to her. She had to get to Jesus. You think about all of the events in the life of Christ where people got to Jesus. They forced through the crowds to get to Jesus because they knew He was their only hope. He was their only answer. Jesus was worth it. But look there at verse 47 and 48. Verse 47 says, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Her sins are forgiven. Why? Because she's a good person. She did a lot of good things. She gave to charity. No, she didn't do any of those things. She was a sinner. She washed Jesus' feet. That's not why her sins were forgiven. Her sins were forgiven because she put her faith and trust in Jesus alone. She accepted Jesus as her Savior, the only one who could save her. Religion couldn't save her. The Pharisees couldn't save her. The religious elites were sitting right there in the room and they had nothing to do with this woman. But Jesus had compassion on her. You look there with me at the last two verses of the chapter, verses 49 and 50. You see there, the Jews knew only God could forgive sins. This was what they believed. This was the law. Only God could forgive sins. Well, they did not look at Jesus as being God in the flesh. So you can understand why they would say these things. They did not consider Jesus to be God, only possibly a prophet. But we see even Simon questioned that. So they reasoned in their minds how Jesus could be telling this woman that her sins were forgiven, that her faith had saved her. The point is this, church. God's word is truth and it has power to save. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Christ died for all people, Jew and Gentile, American and Gambian, Muslim and Christian, moral and immoral. Christ died for all people. But don't miss this. God doesn't want your morals. He doesn't want your good works like the Pharisees thought. He wants your heart. This is the point of this missions conference for you. It's your heart. How's your heart? Is your heart far from God? Is it indifferent to people around you? Or is it close to God? I think if you're close to God, you're going to love people like Jesus loved people. You're going to give of yourself and sacrifice of yourself to do even more for God this year. God wants your heart. He wants to radically change your life. He wants to transform you from being a sinner like this woman to being His child. It's an amazing transformation. But not only your life, but the lives of people around you. You see, salvation is not just for you. It's not just for America. It's not just for developed countries, for intellectuals. It is for every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth right now. Christ died for everyone. The value of one. When we understand the forgiveness of God for us, His love for us, it then manifests itself in our life through love for God and love for people. The point is this: missions is the heart of God. The gospel. The gospel is the heart of God. It drove Him to come to earth and do what He did for us. God uses people in churches that understand this. That understand that none of us are worth dying for. We're all sinners. But that we simply want to be used by God to reach another soul. Look with me in the last one and we'll be done. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. The next few verses are amazing here. Verse 50 there, Luke 7 and verse 50 says, "And He said unto the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Jesus radically transforms and changes this woman's life. And look what Jesus does in verse 8. "And it came to pass afterward that He went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with Him." Jesus just went on. He gave the gospel to more people. This is what we as a church must do. Don't just be satisfied with what we've done in the past. Don't just be satisfied with where we are now, but keep going. There's more people to reach. There's more villages to reach. There's more lives that need to be changed by the gospel. Friends, the heartbeat of God is the proclamation of the gospel. the glad tidings of the kingdom to every city and every village. Jesus forgave this woman not because she deserved salvation or worked hard to be a good person in hopes that God would accept her. Rather, Jesus forgave her because of her faith. That is why we go as missionaries. That's why we go to every city and every village of this world to reach people with the gospel, because Jesus wants to radically change people's lives. My life was changed as a 5-year-old boy to understand that I was a sinner. I was in need of salvation. Many of you have that same testimony. But Jesus wants to redeem sinners from certain destruction, because if without Christ, we will perish in our sins. This is why you as a church support and give to missions. Because there are people and nations right now who are lost. There are people just like this woman that we looked at in this event in the life of Christ that need to be reached when no one else will reach them. What then is the need of your heart? Are you like this woman in seeking to know Jesus because you know you're a sinner, but you know who Jesus is and you want to be with him? You want to know him. You want to know his forgiveness. The woman we looked at here in Luke knew who Jesus was. She knew who Jesus was. She knew who she was. But she knew Jesus was worth it. Knowing him is worth it. Even if it's one soul. Just a personal example. Our first service that we had in Gambia, we had one person attend. So it's amazing. Your conference this week has been the value of one. Our first service we had in Gambia, we had one person attend. My family and one person. It's worth it, folks, to reach one soul for Christ. As a Christian, is there a desire and a purpose in your heart to love people and to get the gospel to them? Would you say within yourself, like this Pharisee did, that some people just don't deserve God's grace and mercy? Or is there a real, passionate, intentional desire to reach people with the good news of the gospel before it's too late? Is that true of you? Are you living intentional? Are you passionate to reach people around you? Is there a determination to get the gospel to people in need right here in your Jerusalem? We had heard a great message this week about reaching our Jerusalem, being ambassadors, being testimonies and witnesses for Christ. The focus of Jesus' ministry, the focus of the gospel, was to reach sinners with the gospel. This was the heartbeat of God. This is what drove him to come to earth and do what he did, to impact lives with the gospel. This is what God wants for us right here in South Riding, Virginia, to be involved in what God's doing, to see the urgent need of the gospel around this world. We don't know when the Lord is going to come back. We don't know how much time we have. But let us be busy right now with getting the gospel to hurting people around us, to people who are in desperate need of salvation. This church right here, you right here, right now, have a great opportunity, but you have great accountability with the gospel. Let us be accountable. Let us be faithful, but with what God has called us to do. Let's close in a word of prayer. Stand to your feet if you would.